Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age. Wisdom, experience, and knowledge. Just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain. All symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, Eldorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit mensteeclinic.com.
Here we go. It's hour five of the G-Bag Nation on 105 through the Fan, live at Moxie's. It's restaurant week, and our coverage is brought to you by Stella Artois today. Come by Moxie's here downtown Dallas and get a G-Bag Nation Edge Stella Artois chalice. Okay, it's time now for a proper round tripper. You're about 15, 20 minutes away from a rim session here. We'll talk the latest basketball stuff with you, but here's Wolchuk with that diamond stuff.
Thank you very much. We do have Rangers taking on the Halos tonight in Anaheim, so we'll have about an 8 o'clock pregame for you.
Big series.
It is. And Rangers need to keep this win streak going. You just had a sweep of the Rays. John Gray on the bump, and John Gray's been a little hit or miss, but we need John at his best tonight. Rangers lineup is out, and I believe Wyatt Langford's going to be hitting cleanup again. So Wyatt will be batting fourth, and Adolis Garcia will be batting fifth after he just got a mental day off. So we will get to see how the Rangers do in Anaheim against Ron Walsh and the Halos. Hopefully they continue the winning ways that they've had just at home, going 4-2 at the home stretch.
It's a thin line between winning and losing. I so badly wanted this to be a dynasty and we can just let the good times roll. Maybe it's going to be a little bit more of an ebb and flow type of deal, as a lot of negative things have happened. Still not giving up. But as CY said, it's time to go. We don't have any more time, and we don't have any more of a hole we can dig for ourselves.
No, the time is now. I mean, they've definitely got to, like, Nathaniel Lowe needs to keep this going, right? The bat's been hot. Jonah Heim, you've had so many offensive players that have underperformed through the first 70 or so games of the season. You've got to make sure that these guys continue an upward pace. Now, they made some moves today. Daniel Roberts, right-handed pitcher, was selected from AAA Round Rock. He'll be joining the bullpen. Grant Anderson optioned back to AAA Round Rock. But an interesting move was Antoine Kelly designated for assignment. And Antoine Kelly has really struggled in Frisco. But that was a guy that the Rangers were pretty high on, was one of their top 100 prospects. They have decided, okay, we're moving on from Antoine Kelly. Now we'll see if another team picks him up. Maybe ends up finding his way back into the Rangers organization. But a bit of a surprising move there. Now, the All-Star game. Marcus Semien still could end up being your starting second baseman. Big congratulations to Kirby Yates. Kirby Yates was an All-Star 5 years ago. It's been a tough road for him to get back here. He's pitched really, really, really well for the Rangers. He's got a sub-1 ERA. And yesterday, in the clubhouse, afterwards, he talked with reporters about making the All-Star team yet again after several years awaiting this opportunity for him.
To try and push myself and be, you know, get back to that level that I thought I could be. I think this gives it a little bit of validation that I've been pretty good in the first half. Going through this once before, I know that the emotions don't really start hitting you till you kind of get closer to the game. And, you know, I think I'll be a little bit more mellow, but last year it didn't really kick in until you know, that all the when the Star Spangled Banner was going on, and you kind of look up and you see your family, and you see everybody, how excited they are. So, you know, I am excited. I'm very, very proud of myself. You know, but I think the, you know, there will be definitely a lot of more emotion this week.
Really cool for Kirby Yates to be able to do that, especially with the Rangers hosting the game. It was nice to get more than just one player. Now, of course, Josh Smith, one of the biggest snubs. And we talked to CY about that earlier. Josh Smith, whose .292 batting average is the highest in the American League among players that did not get selected for the All-Star game. His WAR, the bat speed, all there. And when it comes to defensively, I mean, he's been absolutely fantastic. So, you know, CY mentioned maybe some players end up dropping out and Josh Smith still has an opportunity to get selected and be part of this. But it's a bummer not having Josh Smith in this thing, yeah, especially being the team that's hosting it.
I mean, maybe a little bit more sizzle to his game, a little bit more power. You know, I don't know. But I think the wins against replacement metric should, you know, neutralize a lot of that. I think, you know, there's some difficult decisions to be made by voters and by people selecting it. Maybe you just prove somebody who's got a little bit more overall resume over a guy who was literally terrible last year.
Yes. He definitely was not on anybody's radar. He wasn't on ours, you know, to be like, oh, he was going to play this well.
I mean, but I was disappointed that, hey, you win the World Series, you're supposed to be better than this. I want all my players to be better than Josh Smith. But, you know, they proved me wrong once again. The guy had talent. They knew they were going to stick with it. I think you just got to do it another year to get recognized.
Yeah.
Yeah, but you look at Josh Smith, and we were all projecting doom and gloom with no Josh Young.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, Josh Smith is the one consistent, you know, and yeah, the first half of the season, I mean, they're treading water for sure. But you haven't worried about him being an everyday player at all.
No.
When he's in the lineup, whether he plays third, whether he played short, wherever he played, he was big for them.
Yeah.
You know, when no one else was hitting and no one else was scoring, I mean, his ability to drive runs in when they couldn't hit anything. You know, and yeah, he even admitted, he's like, listen, my defense has kept me in the league. Now I'm finding ways to hit the ball and be consistent. And maybe he's a year away, maybe 2 years away. But
you're making
a
point that he deserves it. He's good enough to be an All-Star.
Yeah, he's been one of the better. If you said pick one Ranger guy to be an All-Star, if you said you only have one,
he'd be the guy.
I might vote for him for the fact that expectations for him was like a under 200 hitter and maybe a good defensive guy.
He's been your best position player.
By far.
There's no doubt. I mean, the only other guy that I might take would be Kirby Yates, who made it, right? Yeah. But he absolutely is deserving of being in it. And hopefully, you know, he's still got an outside chance to make it. Now, your LSU Tiger Paul Skeens did make it.
Unbelievable.
And I didn't realize just how crazy this is, but Paul Skeens, first player to be selected first overall in the draft and make the All-Star team the next season.
Mm.
And
no wonder they won the championship, dude. He was the best pitcher in all of the world in college.
Yes. He was unreal. And he might start for the National League.
Yeah.
Paul Skeens was a catcher at Air Force, and they made him into a pitcher as a transfer. Paul Skeens is everything that you were hoping for, Jack Leiter and Kumar Rocker. That's when I was thinking Southeastern Conference pitcher, you know, big guy, you know, not that Jack Leiter's a big guy, but I'm thinking guy that was going to go out there and pitch Friday night in the SEC and get the...
The Rocker's a big dude.
Yeah, but all of a sudden, you know, man, they hit gold with this guy.
And
I saw him for, you know, the season he pitched, and you're right, the national championship. He's lights out, but he's been lights out for the Pirates, too.
He's been really
unbelievable. They can't touch him.
He had 9 strikeouts a game the way he pitches.
He does not have a loss in 10 major league starts.
Yeah.
He's second in ERA with a 2.12 ERA in the big leagues among pitchers with 50 innings or more. He's third in strikeout rate, third in strikeout minus walk rate.
He's a horse.
He's 5-0 with 78 Ks over 59 and a third innings. I mean, he is absolutely brilliant as advertised. And to your point, it's rare that we see a guy come in and really not, and as fast as he's doing it, it's crazy what Paul Skeens is doing.
You know what? They gave him some time in the minors, and got him acclimated and kind of got him built up again. And man, I mean, you could put the team on his back. He's got that kind of ability. I wonder if the Pirates, because the Pirates at one time had Gerrit Cole.
They did.
Yeah, Gerrit Cole.
Yeah.
And they let him walk.
Yeah.
Now, we got control over a guy for a little bit, but I wonder if this is going to be one of these extensions, or is it he's going to go bring you a haul.
They end up trading him.
Or they're going to, you know, because they just don't
pay
their guys.
Yeah, those small market teams, man, I wonder what's it going to take for you to actually go all in on a player or a roster and say, hey, here's our champ. Because if you're in such a small city and you're so worried about your budget that you're not going to spend when you draft generational players, then you should be forced to sell your team.
Yeah, it's like how mad would we be if we're sitting there and you've got Paul Skeens and they traded him?
Well, yeah, but sorry, I just can't afford him, guys.
But that's what they traded. Like I say,
no, but that's what they do.
Yeah. That's what they do. They draft really well, and then they move on from guys.
Oh, gosh.
And I would be sick if I was a Pirates fan, and all of a sudden we've got a bigger version of Nolan Ryan here. You know,
yeah.
Guys just mowing people down. And
I mean, the A's were essentially that for the last 15, 20 years.
Yeah, farm system for everybody in baseball.
Unbelievable. Shout out to District 75A, some local products. Colleyville Heritage, Bobby Witt Jr. Made the All-Star Game. Surprise, he's coming back home. And Grapevine Zone, David Fry of the Cleveland Guardians, both named AL All-Stars, will play at Globe Life Field. Both played against each other in District 75A here in DFW.
A lot of good baseball players.
Really good. We also got the news that Bobby Witt Jr. is going to be in the Home Run Derby. So we've got Bobby Witt Jr.
Gonna pull for him, I guess.
Gunnar Henderson, the polar bear Pete Alonso, who has won this before, and
we need
Alec
to trade
Bohm
for him.
Yeah, I wouldn't mind me some Pete Alonso. That's for sure.
Who keeps bringing him up? Somebody keeps bringing him up. Is it you?
Yeah,
I knew it was somebody on our show. I'm sorry. I was like, man, somebody keeps bringing him up.
Some super smart baseball expert.
Yeah, I keep just throwing him out there because I mean the power is there. And if he goes and drill, I mean he was really good with the Mets when they came here a few weeks ago.
Yeah.
If he ends up winning the home run derby, you know he can hit at Globe Life Field.
I tried to trade for Ohtani there, but
you did.
Know, I mean, because he comes here and he's like 12 of 15 every time they play here. You know?
Yeah, no, it's true. I mean, Ohtani is pretty damn good.
Some guys hitting this park very well.
They do. We'll see who ends up joining them in the home run derby. I saw CBS Sports put out, like, man, if they could have a dream field. Imagine this is the home run derby competition. Shohei, Aaron Judge, Ellie De La Cruz of the Reds, O'Neill Cruz, who's also with the Pirates at 6'7".
Yeah.
They've got themselves a stud hitter and a pitcher.
Yeah.
You're right. We need a monitor. Do they end up shipping away both of those dudes?
It's crazy what the Pirates do.
It's bizarre. You know what? Bleep the Pirates. Paul Skeens deserves better. He should have a Texas Rangers jersey on.
Get ready. He'll be pitching at Yankee Stadium or Dodger Stadium.
Yeah, or maybe the Red Sox get in the mix. You're 100% right.
I'm just glad Langford's better in the last two top five picks.
Dude, Langford's looking really good. But that's the thing. Like, that's why they don't hit with pitching. Maybe you should just always just take position players. Like, it's just don't throw the dart
college,
on pitching.
College position players might be the way to go.
Yeah. Jordan Alvarez, Gunnar Henderson, and Mark Vientos.
He's a Met, right? Vientos?
He is. And he's, I mean, Pete Alonso's going to go, so I doubt him. But if that's the dream field for CBS Sports, that's hard to argue with right there. Now, Ken Rosenthal is the latest baseball writer to come out with, all right, what if the defending champs are sellers here? It seems like we're getting more and more traction.
Yeah. This sucks.
Nightingale earlier and now Rosenthal?
No.
Yeah, so he does write, like, Rangers, 42-48 after a sweep. They've yet to determine their course. They've won five of their past seven. Perhaps they're going to wait. They remain 7.5 games back in the race for the American League. Now, they're also just 10% when it comes to playoff odds to make it into the postseason. The 2014 Red Sox traded starters like Jake Peavy, John Lester, John Lackey and reliever Andrew Miller. Lackey under control for the following season. Red Sox, their 2015 club, finished dead last. So he's referencing like other teams that won World Series, how they ended up handling this after a disappointing year the next year. Expiring contracts. We've got guys that we've mentioned. Lorenzen, Heaney, Urania, David Robertson, Kirby Yates, Nathan Eovaldi. Maybe you want to get an extension done with him. Maybe you use him as a trade piece. Max Scherzer. The other interesting factors in this is position players. Nathaniel Lowe, Laiotti, and perhaps even Adolis Garcia, all of whom are performing below expectations and under club control. Right-hander John Gray has 1 year left for next year, could be possibilities. A team might prefer Gray at that salary more than paying a higher price on the free agent market. No. So maybe John Gray ends up being an interesting candidate. He also writes, Ezekiel Duran could replace Lowe at first. And then you could move Laiotti Taveras if a team wants him, because you've got Evan Carter ready to replace Laiotti Taveras. Now, that is determining health. But he's throwing out some position players that we hadn't really talked about.
You know, I like the idea of moving on from Laiotti if somebody wants him. I don't know about the idea of moving on from Lowe for Duran unless you have something specifically in mind for first base. And I can't think of anything. You know, and obviously conversations can be had right now about what's going to happen in the winter and all that. But I'm not against it. You know, if they decide that over the next 20 days this team doesn't play well enough and they're going to be sellers, if you want to do a lot to try to rebuild that farm system, here's the thing we know is they've spent a lot of money, and Ray is very sensitive to that luxury tax threshold that's very punitive in Major League Baseball.
Yeah, with
if you want to get off current and upcoming salaries and add prospects, that might be the best thing that happens as a result of this season. It'd be terrible to be a big buyer, give up more prospects, not get anything for your veterans that you could get stuff back for, and then still not make the playoffs. That would be the biggest mismanagement that CY and Ray could collectively do here.
Agreed. Absolutely. There's Around the Bases brought to you by Uber Eats.
Thank you, sir. Woolchuck has Around the Bases most evenings at 6 o'clock here in the GBAC Nation. Pregame tonight, 8:30, first pitch at 9 as they take on the Angels. Big three here in L.A., and then a big three in Houston. Yeah, there he is, Jared Sandler. Okay, it's time now to step aside. We'll come back with the proper rim session, get you the latest on basketball and the Mavs next in the Nation.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
You sit in traffic now, but later, there's an ice cold reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, all your patience is paid out in gold. You remain calm through honks, bumper to bumper, and people yelling.
Come on, move!
You are a fighter, and Modelo is your reward. Modelo, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This show is sponsored by Midi Health. There are great things that come with age: wisdom, experience, and knowledge, just to name a few. But if you're a woman over 40, it can also bring some less desirable things like hot flashes, insomnia, brain fog, moodiness, and weight gain, all symptoms of menopause and perimenopause. Yes, hormonal transition is a fact of life, but that doesn't mean you have to accept its symptoms as just another part of aging. Midi clinicians are menopause experts, equipped to support you with safe, effective, FDA-approved medications, as well as supplements, lifestyle coaching, and preventative health guidance. You'll come out of the experience feeling heard and with a plan to start feeling better. Midi offers accessible care. All their services are covered by insurance, and they're conveniently accessible through telehealth visits and 24/7 messaging. You deserve to feel great. Book your virtual visit today at joinmidi.com. That's joinmidi.com.
Welcome back, GBAC Nation. We are live at Moxie's here, downtown Dallas. And it's restaurant week. You should come by and get something delicious to eat and drink. But also, we have a GBAC Nation special Stella Artois Chalice for you for free while supplies last, and supplies are starting to run low on that. So get here while you can. We have another 35 minutes of broadcast left with you. This segment of the G-Bag Nation is the Talking Hoop. We got a proper rim session, the latest on Klay Thompson and the Warriors and the Mavericks and all that. Segment's brought to you by Window Nation. Go to windownation.com. It's brought to you by the Frankels. If you are hurt in an accident and it's not your fault, call the Frankels for your free consultation, 214 or 817-333-3333. Go to frankelfirm.com. Of course, it's brought to you by Cars for Kids as well. Donate today at carsforkids.org. Do we need to do something special to open up these ceremonies?
Yes, let's do that. For the first time in Moxie's history, let's go ahead and put the kids to bed, turn the lights off, and let's go all the way around the rim.
Rain dance!
Rain dance!
Is that what you say? Rain dance?
Yeah, rain dance.
I got you.
Okay, Klay Thompson has broken his silence with a five-word post. He's pumped to be a Dallas Maverick with the quote, "This is going to be so fun." I do find it interesting. I find it fascinating that he didn't pick the Lakers, you know, being able to stay in the state, be close to his dad. I wonder if, you know, he did not like LeBron James. You know, I wonder, what was it? Was it simply that I have a better chance of winning with the Mavs because they were just in the finals and they need perimeter shooting? Was it Jason Kidd? You know, what do you say, Brian?
I think the media had something to do with this.
Yeah.
It was a circus in Golden State, mm-hmm, with all the things that, you know, guys punching each other, that whole thing, Steve Kerr trying to kind of hold things together. They had a great run. I think coming to Dallas, you're not under that scrutiny that you have in San Francisco, Bay Area, or Los Angeles.
Okay, so that would bring up my next question then. Is it good to get a guy that's running from the pressure? I don't know of any greats or any winners.
I just don't think he wants to deal with every day having to answer questions about your teammates.
Yeah.
You know? Like, you know, there's a lot of drama that goes on, especially the last few years there at Golden State.
Oh, yeah, and there was a lot of emphasis that he was the reason they weren't good anymore.
Look, how about the consistency, like, of hiring coaches in L.A.?
Right.
And,
I mean,
and now,
like,
you're going
there
to a guy. Steve Kerr's a nice player. I mean, he was a great player, and, you know, for the – but then J.J. Redick's now my coach at the Lakers?
Yeah.
They're going to fire this guy in a year, and there's going to be another guy here. And I'm going to be here 3 years. And
no, I think he made the right decision. I'm just not used to seeing anybody do that.
Well, I think that you're the first point of when you kind of just weigh how close are the Lakers versus how close are the Mavs. And he said that he was watching the Mavericks in the finals and during their playoff run and thinking, this is how I can fit with that team.
Yeah.
And they're three wins away from a championship, and he wants that fifth ring so bad. He believes he can be the difference maker with the Mavs. You go to the Lakers, yeah, you've got LeBron and Anthony Davis, but both of them deal with injuries. Are they going to be available for me in the playoffs? I get injured myself, right? So I think he weighed both situations. He viewed the Lakers, so he says, is kind of similar to Golden State. Maybe I think the media and kind of the circus nature of it could have played a factor, but I think he really looked at the Mavericks and said, I can win here. And that's why he took the Mavericks game.
I just think he wants to play basketball. He just wants to play basketball. You know what? And he doesn't want to have to deal with the everyday BS that goes along with playing basketball.
Hmm.
All the focus is on Luka and Kyrie.
Yeah.
He could just kind of slide in and out of the arena and average, you know, 23 points, 24 points a night.
Ooh, that'd be something. Yeah. Tim Cato joined us last hour, and he said – their upside is higher, which also suggests that their downside is lower. You're going away from Derrick Jones Jr. and a great on-the-ball defender that you knew worked and propelled you to greatness, and now you're bringing in a little bit more risk here, right? The injury risk, the age risk. Is there an ability risk anymore for Klay Thompson, or is he clearly better than, you know, Derrick Jones Jr. was just for you?
Well, in terms of there's an ability risk when it comes to the defensive side of the floor, absolutely. But I think we've seen, like, he wants to wear number 31. He views himself as the modern-day Reggie Miller. That shot's not going away. So he knows I can be a spot-up shooter, and I'm having Luka, who's the best when it comes to creating wide-open three-point opportunities in the sport. I'm going to be an absolute marksman offensively. But there is a downturn when it comes to how is he defensively? You don't have to ask him to do as much as he was asked to do during the run with Golden State, because Najee Marshall, I think they believe, can also be a good defender. Quentin Grimes is a bit of a pit bull when it comes to that as well. But, yeah, Clay is no longer, I don't think, that type of all-defensive player. Well, we know he's not that, but how good is he going to be when it comes to being a two-way player? That's a fair question.
Yeah, that defense and that versatility, I think. You need not only guys that are good defensively, but can really, you know, exploit the other team when they try to play junk defenses on the other end. You need five guys like that. And I think that run Derrick Jones Jr. went on where he was making those threes against OKC in Minnesota, it was just a really small sample size that's not sustainable. Okay, interesting comment from Timberwolves star Anthony Edwards, who's never short on confidence, and here he was talking about his status with Team USA ahead of the Olympics.
I'm still the number one athlete. I mean, y'all might look at it differently. I don't look at it differently.
And how does that manifest? How do you go about it? Just go about it the same
way? Yeah, I just go out there and be myself. Shoot my shots, play defense, and, you know, they got to fit in to play around me. That's how I feel.
So a lot of confidence. You got to love it from a young man. And really a tale as old as time as far as the young gun trying to make his name, and how's the older generation going to handle it? Are they going to encourage him and let him be the young superstar talent that might not be the wisest? Or do you correct him and put him in his place? You know, it's going to be really interesting, but you have a number of very accomplished superstars on that team, including LeBron and KD and Steph Curry and Kawhi Leonard.
Right, and to me, like, I was looking at this yesterday on the roster. Anthony Edwards did just have the best playoff performance out of anybody that's on this team. Like, I don't think it's that crazy what he's saying. Now, I do think this is going to be Steph and LeBron. It's their last Olympic run. They're going to be the guys. And I throw KD in there, but I'm wondering how much KD's going to play. He's got a calf strain already. We saw last time he dealt with a calf injury, blew his Achilles. If I'm KD, that's terrifying to me. I don't know how much he's going to play for you this Olympics, even though he's the all-time scorer in U.S. men's basketball history. I'd say Anthony Edwards would come in at number four behind those three. I think it is LeBron and Steph. You guys want to be selfish at all? This is your last run. Go do it. But outside of that, I do kind of think Anthony Edwards is that dude.
Yeah, you know, and I think you need to get the ball in his hand to have the advantage, especially as important as the mid-range jump shot is in the international game, and he's probably the best guy in the league at making that. I'm just trying to make him a finisher and a closer. I don't want him setting up the plays. I want him catching the ball and immediately attacking. I think where Minnesota gets in trouble is they don't have a true natural point guard, and, you know, his skill set doesn't, you know, really screen playmaking for himself and others.
Okay, so do you think a perfect situation for him is like 3 or 4 years ago when Chris Paul goes to the Suns? Devin Booker now doesn't have to play point. He can play off ball. And now you've got Chris Paul who's facilitating. That's what Anthony Edwards needs.
I think so. Yeah. You know, and I think he's a hell of a scorer, hell of a player. You love having him, you know, with Team USA. But the other thing about that, when it's hit its absolute heights, whether you go back to 92 or the Redeem Team in 2008, it was because you had an insane collection of talent that were all willing to sacrifice for a greater good. And even though it was easy for the original Dream Team, they made it look stupid with 50 and 60-point wins because they locked in on every possession to prove a point. Yeah. Same thing happened in 2008 when they ultimately, you know, beat a very, very good Spain and Argentina team.
In the Olympics, is the lane wider? Is it international?
It's trapezoidal, yeah.
Yeah, so all of a sudden,
wider at the bottom.
Yeah, this will play right into a guy that likes to drive the ball.
Sure,
like that, you know.
I think he's going to dominate.
I think he is too. I think that's where he's going to shine, is his willingness to take the ball inside and attack, I think, will be beneficial for the U.S. team.
Here's Steph on Klay Thompson leaving.
So, Steph, one of the last times that you and I did this, you told me that it didn't even feel close to the last dance for the two of you, Klay and Draymond. When did that change?
I mean, we talked about it a lot just in the sense of the journey that we've been on. Obviously, me since 2009, Klay's 2011 draft, Draymond, and then when Coach came in 2014, and what's happened since. We would have loved to maintain, you know, the core and finish out together, but we obviously understand the league and things change, and, you know, having Klay head on to Dallas. It's tough. It's something that I never imagined would be a reality. But, you know, you want him to be happy. You want him to be able to enjoy the game of basketball. It does suck losing Clay. There's no two ways around it. So you have to be able to celebrate what we accomplished, but then be able to move on.
Yeah, a tough reality, I think, for the Warriors. They kept that thing together. Their luxury tax bill was just exorbitant. At some point, you know, the returns aren't worth the very significant investment. And, you know, that building costs a lot. You charge your fans a lot. They want their favorite players, but a very tough decision for the Warriors to come to. I think it's just insanely tough for fans to stomach that when you see the contract that ultimately got that done. It's like, wow, we're not even in it like this. You know, maybe the Warriors and the Cowboys fans have a little bit something in common as they're watching players that they like and can still help the team, maybe even an all-time great, go in the interest of, you know, business and making things work with the cap. So that's tough. And now you just hope that he's got, like, a resurgence in his game and he's got enough youth in him to be a key member of a championship run here for the Mavericks. Okay, do you agree with what Steph Curry said about the Warriors maybe being the last dynasty in the NBA? I do. I think it's going to be harder than ever, and maybe the Warriors letting Klay Thompson go is just another small symptom of, you know, what they've done to team building with their latest CBA things. They want to spread out the talent and make it tough for a team to stay on top once they get there.
I'll say false. He's in Boston right now. Oklahoma City.
Okay.
Oklahoma City with young talent and a lot of picks and a general manager that's creative, crafty, has respect. I feel like, to me, and they've got a good young coach.
Yeah, they do.
So to me, this might be one of those teams that will always be built the right way. And once they figure it out, Oklahoma City could be a team that goes on a run like what we saw with Golden State.
I don't think that financially they can sustain it like Golden State did. That's the only issue with OKC, because they had that. Right, with Harden, well, with Westbrook and Durant, and they couldn't pay them all. I think they're going to come into a similar situation where when Chet Holmgren's up, when Wallace is up, when a lot of these young guys are due their next contracts, they're going to have to let some of those guys walk.
But the thing about it is, you're building this team, but they have those picks.
They do. That's
true.
They
can keep. If they keep drafting well, they got a shot. You know, they let go of all those guys at one time.
Yeah. Yeah.
Maybe it's a deal where, okay, we keep building around Shea. You know, we keep building around him. Yeah, okay. Holmgren's not what we thought. Boom, move on from him. Sure. We got something else. Oh, we got somebody's non-protected pick. Okay, yeah, we're going to pick, and you know, we're picking eighth now. And they're just going to keep picking players, and it's going to keep restocking. They're picking at the back of the draft will never be a factor because they're always going to have picks in the top of
it. The degree of difficulty is more difficult than ever. I think that Steph's point is you can't just get all the players and keep them with bird rights now. Yeah, now, right. If you do that, they're going to tax you and they're going to start taking away draft picks, and it's just not sustainable. Yeah. The Rangers are running into it in Major League Baseball where they don't want to go over a significant spending apron, which would take away draft picks and, you know, cause all sorts of luxury tax implications. And the Thunder are going to have to draft amazingly to keep up with the longevity of this thing. I mean, it's been 13 years since Clay was drafted, and eight of those you were sitting smack dab in the middle of a championship window.
I just don't feel like, to me, like that's a general manager that has a history of building it, tearing it down, and building it again.
Yeah, you're right about
fantastic.
That. Giannis was brought to tears after his Greece team beat Croatia and advanced to his first Olympics. Of course, Luka is out. We do have crosstalk with the Get Right coming up here in just a second, but I look up at the clock, and you know I got to get 60 seconds on soccer.
Let's go.
That is right. Is the USA going to fire Greg Berhalter, their coach, after failing to advance in the Copa America? Maybe their biggest failure in a major tournament of all time, not advancing on home soil, first time that's ever happened, losing to Panama and Uruguay. So seems like this could be enough. ESPN did a story on possible head coaching candidates, and it's quite interesting, some of the big names out there. Semifinal of the Copa tomorrow, Argentina versus Canada.
Canada.
Colombia versus Uruguay after Colombia knocked off Brazil. And the Euro semis tomorrow during our show, it's going to be France against Spain and England against the Netherlands. But we got to get rid of this Berhalter guy. We have so many dang good players. Amen. They can't get organized.
Any chance they get Klopp? In the article,
I think it's still a pipe dream. Yeah, but that was their number one candidate.
Yeah, like they can't money whip him, right? Those are the rules. They're not able to just say, like, hey, we can pay you $20 million. I think everyone's only, like, able to spend a certain amount.
Why can't we get a sponsor to step up
the story that I read said money wouldn't be an obstacle.
Okay.
They could maybe not go 20, but they could go to a competitive territory for him. And at 57 years old, maybe that could make sense for Jurgen Klopp. Obviously, what he was able to do at in Liverpool, legendary, but could you take the USA to a World Cup semifinal? That would perhaps be your greatest
accomplishment. He would be a legend. Yeah. He's already a legend, but a world legend if he comes and finds a way to turn the U.S. around.
All righty, G-Bag Nation, we're live at Moxie's Restaurant Week. We're coming back to Crosstalk with the Get Right, see what they have cooking here on The Fan. Well, thank you, Lucius, and thanks to Moxie's for having us out here along with Stella Artois. It's Restaurant Week here, and we kicked it off properly this afternoon here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Gavin Dawson, Zach Wolchuk, Brian brought us. Chief is working with the morning show.
Be there tomorrow.
A tremendous job this morning. He'll be back tomorrow, so he'll be back before too long here, 2 to 7 every afternoon. Rangers baseball is coming up at 8:30, so for the next 90 minutes or so, you will have the Get Right. And the Get Right joins us now here on The Fan. Gentlemen, come in. How we doing?
Doing well, gents. How you guys doing?
Doing wonderful.
Well, apparently we're only on for an hour, so we've got two segments of rock solid sports talk, and then we're going to cross talk with Jared Sandler, and then hand it off to Rangers baseball, and hopefully they can keep the good vibes rolling.
Right on. So, what do you have planned for this hour broadcasting here?
Well, it's me and my boy Blake Elliott. We got our boy Alec Medford behind the glass today. And so, look, we've got big news tomorrow, obviously, with our boy Clay Thompson, who's going to tell us why he's number 31. Have you guys figured out why he's going to wear number 31 tomorrow? Or why he chose 31 as his new jersey
Reggie
number?
Reggie Miller, or is it 3-1 for the championships to make four?
I'm going with the Reggie Miller angle on this.
I think the Reggie Miller angle's a good one, too.
He said he thinks he's the modern day Reggie Miller, and I believe.
So here's my question.
Grew up.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, Fred.
So my question for you guys is this: because his dad wore number 43, is it quasi disrespectful that he's not wearing 43 and he would choose to wear 31 instead?
There's some interesting stuff going on there. I know his dad really wanted him to come to Los Angeles. He did an interview saying, and I thought everything was lined up perfectly. He was a big Lakers fan growing up.
Sure.
Was Clay Thompson. I think it speaks to the uniqueness of the opportunity here with how good your team is and Nico and Jason Kidd being your leadership. I think I would look for an opportunity if I had to change my jersey number as a way of tipping my cap to dad.
I didn't consider that angle there. I mean, 43, what do we think? Is that aesthetically pleasing, Blake Thompson?
Back in my day, that would have been Jack Sigma,
I
believe.
I mean, Fred, well, I don't know. The 43, I think, would have looked terrible.
Look, 43 is not blowing up anybody's skirt. I get that. But at the same time, too, if you help the Mavericks win a title, which is clearly why they brought you here and why you've said to everybody that'll listen why you've come here, you could immortalize 43. Right? I mean, everybody would be rocking 43s if you go out and win a title.
For sure. Blake, you in there?
I am. I think he should have wore 99. That'd have been my choice. I think it would have stood out. I think it would look like a pure sniper. He could have plenty of jokes with the 99 and knocking down threes. That'd have been my pick. I definitely will ask him tomorrow during the introductory press conference with all the new Mavs and figure out why. If it's not the first question. Why he's wearing 31, and get to the bottom of that.
Hey, Blake, you were at the media availability today, weren't you, with the Mavs?
Yes, sir.
What did you learn? Anything with the summer league stuff? Did they offer anything about that?
Yeah. So it was Jared Dudley and Omax Prosper who talked to us. Dud, obviously, be the assistant coach and going to be the one running the summer league team. I thought he gave some good insight. Kind of talked about how all the guys are doing. He said there was a lot of standouts. A bunch of the names that he kept mentioning was Gerard Lucas, I think, who's on the summer league team, 7'5", had about 10 blocks today. And then also talked very highly of Omax Prosper, said he's healthy, said him and the coaching staff expects him to try to earn rotational minutes, and they want him to guard the other team's best wing. He brought up the Tatums, the Browns of the league, and was like, hey, you saw those guys in the finals and kind of where a deficiency of us guarding them, losing Derrick Jones Jr., I'm paraphrasing now, losing Derrick Jones Jr., you kind of have to step up into that role And it seems like Omax, from when we talked to him, looked excited for that role. And if you're a Mavs fan, I think that's the progression you want to see in your second-year guy.
How much better are the Mavs now than the team that played in the finals, Blake?
Ooh, that's a question. I was talking to other media members today, and it's pretty much how much of the offense grows with Clay.
We don't care about you, Blake. We don't care about anybody else.
How much of the offense grows with Clay, and then how much of the defense decreases from Derrick Jones Jr. to Clay Thompson? I think in a regular season, you won't see that huge drop-off, if you will. I think it'll be kind of a playoff question, and we'll have to see where Klay Thompson's point of attack defense is. But in a nutshell, I do think they got more talented. I like Quentin Grimes. I like Najee Marshall. I think they are a better team. The West is loaded and stacked. Don't forget about a team like Memphis that's going to be healthy, so you had to get better. I personally think the Mavs got more talented.
Yeah, I think so, too. I just wonder how much Clay has, and you know, did we see him teetering on the edge of kind of getting washed up, or do you think he holds strong as a plus role player here for the next 2-3 years?
Gavin, I think the fun part is you don't need him to be kind of what he was of old. I think you quite literally need him to be a 3-point sniper, which even last year he showed in a quote unquote down year, still shot 38%. I think if he can knock down open shots, it opens up a lot for Derek Lively, for Luka, for Kai, for PJ. PJ Washington and Jared Dudley talked about this. He might have the most open three-pointers we've ever seen in NBA history this year. He is going to be wide open, it feels like, almost every play. And then the defense, I'm not too worried because you got guys like Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes that can come in and steal some minutes as well. So I don't think Clay has to be what he was in Golden State, but if he can just be a better Tim Hardaway Jr. and give you a little bit of defense, I think that's a plus.
Chris Young joined us at 4:20, did not deny this report from Bob Nightingale that they could trade away some of their veteran pitching if things don't shift drastically here over the next 20 days. What would you be leaning towards right now if you were the Rangers decision makers?
Tell you what, first of all, I really appreciated A, y'all's questioning, and B, just how candid he was, right? Because, I mean, look, that's been going on all day, right? Like, I mean, and I don't know if you guys heard what Jared Sandler had to say yesterday about Bob Nightingale, which was absolutely hysterical. He said if Bob Nightingale says left, it's probably right. But, I certainly appreciated that. But, look, you got to do something, right? If this team, and I was listening to you guys on the way in today, and I wholeheartedly agree with Broadus, if you don't go at least 4-2, over this stretch to close out, you know, the first half of the season going into the All-Star break, then this is what you are, right? And I threw this out last week. This team's basically been a 500 baseball team since the first 2 months of last year. And so that's and when you take away the postseason, you can't do because obviously you saw what they did, but at the same time too, like it's dragged on again into this year, right? And so do we want to chase our tail the entire second half of the season? So you know, look, you're setting yourself up for 2025. You've got expiring contracts, and you know, all right, if this team's again meandering around, come trade deadline time, you can swindle somebody. Right. And so I think everybody would feel OK with. And look, we've talked to you guys do it. We've heard it from the last couple of weeks. Folks are more or less OK with the fact that, look, you won a title last year. We'll ride this thing out this year. We understand it's been, you know, guys haven't produced like we thought they would. But at the very least, let's get some guys ready for next year. Let's get some pieces together, and then let's fire this thing back up again in 2025.
Sounds like a plan to me, Fred. All righty, here they come to get right. Thanks so much to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup at Master Control. Thanks to Brian Broaddus and Zach Wolchuk, Carter Freeman, Eric Chiafalo with Bobby and RJ in the morning. Just give them a listen, 5:30 to 10. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease. Well, thank you, Lucius. And thanks to Moxie's for having us out here along with Stella Artois. It's restaurant week here, and we kicked it off properly this afternoon here on your home of the Cowboys and Rangers, 105.3 The Fan. Gavin Dawson, Zach Wolchuk, Brian Broaddus. Chief is working with the morning show.
Be there tomorrow.
A tremendous job this morning. He'll be back tomorrow, so he'll be back before too long here, 2 to 7 every afternoon. Rangers baseball is coming up at 8:30, so for the next 90 minutes or so, you will have the Get Right. And the Get Right joins us now here on The Fan. Gentlemen, come in. How we doing?
Doing well, gents. How you guys doing?
Doing wonderful.
Well, apparently we're only on for an hour, so we've got, you know, two segments of rock solid sports talk, and then we're going to cross talk with Jared Sandler, and then hand it off to Rangers baseball, and hopefully they can keep the good vibes rolling.
Right on. So what do you have planned for this hour broadcasting here?
Well, it's me and my boy Blake Elliott. We got Hi. Our boy Alec Medford behind the glass today. And so, you know, look, we've got big news tomorrow, obviously, with the our boy Clay Thompson, who's going to tell us why he's number 31. Have you guys figured out why he's going to wear number 31 tomorrow? Or why he chose 31 as his new jersey
Reggie
number?
Reggie Miller, or is it 3-1 for the championships to make four?
I'm going with the Reggie Miller angle on this.
I think the Reggie Miller angle's a good one, too.
He said he thinks he's the modern day Reggie Miller, and I believe.
So here's my question.
He grew up.
Go ahead.
Yeah. Go ahead, Fred.
So my question for you guys is this: because his dad wore number 43, is it quasi disrespectful that he's not wearing 43 and he would choose to wear 31 instead?
There's some interesting stuff going on there. I know his dad really wanted him to come to Los Angeles. He did an interview saying, and I thought everything was lined up perfectly. He was a big Lakers fan growing up.
Sure.
Was Clay Thompson. I think it speaks to the uniqueness of the opportunity here with how good your team is and Nico and Jason Kidd being your leadership. But yeah, I think I would look for an opportunity if I had to change my jersey number as a way of tipping my cap to dad.
I didn't consider that angle there. But, I mean, 43, what do we think? Is that aesthetically pleasing for Clay Thompson?
Back in my day, that would have been Jack Sickmeyer.
You know, I mean, Fred, well, I don't know. The 43, I think, would have looked terrible.
Look, 43 is not blowing up anybody's skirt. I get that. But at the same time, too, if you help the Mavericks win a title, which is clearly why they brought you here and why you've said to everybody that'll listen why you've come here, you could immortalize 43. Right? I mean, everybody would be rocking 43s if you go out and win a title.
For sure. Blake, you in there?
I am. I think he should have wore 99. That would have been my choice. I think it would have stood out. I think it would have looked like a pure sniper. He could have plenty of jokes with the 99 and knocking down threes. That would have been my pick. I definitely will ask him tomorrow during the introductory press conference with all the new Mavs and figure out why, if it's not the first question. Why he's wearing 31, and get to the bottom of that.
Hey, Blake, you were at the media availability today, weren't you, with the Mavs?
Yes, sir.
What did you learn? Anything with the summer league stuff? Did they offer anything about that?
Yeah. So it was Jared Dudley and Omax Prosper who talked to us. Dud, obviously, be the assistant coach and going to be the one running the summer league team. I thought he gave some good insight. Kind of talked about how all the guys are doing. He said there was a lot of standouts. A bunch of the names that he kept mentioning was Gerard Lucas, I think, who's on the summer league team, 7'5", had about 10 blocks today. And then also talked very highly of Omax Prosper, said he's healthy, said him and the coaching staff expects him to try to earn rotational minutes, and they want him to guard the other team's best wing. He brought up the Tatums, the Browns of the league, and was like, hey, you saw those guys in the finals and kind of were a deficiency of us guarding them, losing Derrick Jones Jr. I'm paraphrasing now. Losing Derrick Jones Jr., you kind of have to step up into that role. And it seems like Omax, from when we talked to him, looked excited for that role. And if you're a Mavs fan, I think that's the progression you want to see in your second-year guy.
How much better are the Mavs now than the team that played in the finals, Blake?
Ooh, that's a question. I was talking to other media members today, and it's pretty much how much of the offense grows with Clay.
We don't care about you, Blake. We don't care about anybody else.
How much of the offense grows with Clay, and then how much of the defense decreases from Derrick Jones Jr. to Clay Thompson. I think in a regular season, you won't see that huge drop-off, if you will. I think it'll be kind of a playoff question, and we'll have to see where Clay Thompson's point of attack defense is. But in a nutshell, I do think they got more talented. I like Quentin Grimes. I like Najee Marshall. I think they are a better team. The West is loaded and stacked. Don't forget about a team like Memphis that's going to be healthy, so you had to get better. I personally think the Mavs got more talented.
Yeah, I think so, too. I just wonder how much Clay has. And, you know, did we see him teetering on the edge of kind of getting washed up? Or do you think he holds strong as a plus role player here for the next 2-3 years?
Gavin, I think the fun part is you don't need him to be kind of what he was of old. I think you quite literally need him to be a 3-point sniper, which even last year he showed in a quote-unquote down year, still shot 38%. I think if he can knock down open shots, it opens up a lot for Derek Lively, for Luka, for Kai, for PJ. PJ Washington and Jared Dudley talked about this. He might have the most open three-pointers we've ever seen in NBA history this year. He is going to be wide open, it feels like, almost every play. And then the defense, I'm not too worried because you got guys like Najee Marshall and Quentin Grimes that can come in and steal some minutes as well. So I don't think Clay has to be what he was in Golden State, but if he can just be a better Tim Hardaway Jr. and give you a little bit of defense, I think that's a plus.
Chris Young joined us at 4:20, did not deny this report from Bob Nightingale that they could trade away some of their veteran pitching if things don't shift drastically here over the next 20 days. What would you be leaning towards right now if you were the Rangers decision makers?
Tell you what, first of all, I really appreciated A, y'all's questioning, and B, just how candid he was, right? Because, I mean, look, that's been going on all day, right? Like, I mean, and I don't know if you guys heard what Jared Sandler had to say yesterday about Bob Nightingale, which was absolutely hysterical. He said if Bob Nightingale says left, it's probably right. But, I certainly appreciated that. But, look, you got to do something, right? If this team, and I was listening to you guys on the way in today, and I wholeheartedly agree with Broadus, if you don't go at least 4-2 over this stretch to close out, you know, the first half of the season going into the All-Star break, then this is what you are, right? And I threw this out last week. This team's basically been a 500 baseball team since the first 2 months of last year. And so that's and when you take away the postseason, you can't do because obviously you saw what they did, but at the same time too, like it's dragged on again into this year, right? And so do we want to chase our tail the entire second half of the season? So you know, look, you're setting yourself up for 2025. You've got expiring contracts, and you know, all right, if this team's again meandering around, come trade deadline time, you can swindle somebody. Right. And so I think everybody would feel OK with. And look, we've talked to you guys do it. We've heard it from the last couple of weeks. Folks are more or less OK with the fact that, look, you won a title last year. We'll ride this thing out this year. We understand it's been, you know, guys haven't produced like we thought they would. But at the very least, let's get some guys ready for next year. Let's get some pieces together and then let's fire this thing back up again in 2025.
Sounds like a plan to me, Fred. All righty, here they come to get right. Thanks so much to Lucius Alexander and the Pimp Cup at Master Control. Thanks to Brian Broaddus and Zach Wolchuk, Carter Freeman, Eric Chiafalo with Bobby and RJ in the mornings. Give them a listen, 5:30 to 10. Until tomorrow at 2, you're going home with the G-Bag Nation. At ease.
Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Have you ever wondered what it's like to experience something paranormal, supernatural, or unexplainable? Join host Jack Wagner on the podcast Otherworld as he explores spine-chilling real stories shared by everyday people who have experienced something unexplainable. Listen each week for first-person testimony from people who have come face-to-face with something that can't just be explained away. Listen and follow Otherworld, an Odyssey podcast, available now on the Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly!
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly! Auto Parts.